Right, it's tech time. Gadget Detective Fevzi Turkalp joins us once again. You can find him on Twitter at Gadget Detective. How's things, Fevzi?
Very good, thank you.
Good. Delighted to have you back with us. And let's get straight into Gadget of the Week. Shall I make you laugh at what a sweet old-fashioned thing I am, first of all, though,
go
Fevzi?
On.
About 2 weeks ago, in the post, came my first ever pair of wireless headphones. Are you shocked?
Oh, that's good. No. If you don't need them, you don't have to. It's not essential kit. I mean, but there is a certain freedom in having them.
Oh, they're wonderful. They're life-changing.
Which ones? Do you mind me asking which ones you've got?
Oh, I couldn't possibly tell you what make. I mean, not because of the BBC rules or anything, because I don't know what brand they are. They're white. They cost all that. I spent nearly £30 on them. I did go a little bit mad, Fevzi.
Are they in the ear ones or ones with a sort of band around the head or around the back of the neck?
No, I was using the in the ear ones, but not wireless previously, and yes. I can't bear it. They really hurt my ears. I've tried so many over the years. Every time I've been on a plane, every time I've tried somebody else's riveters, for me they don't stay in, and they jolly well hurt, make my ears sore. Is that very unusual? Yeah.
It's not unusual, but when you get you have a choice of little inserts that you can put with for different ear sizes, but some people's ear canals are just difficult. Mm. There are companies that make bespoke earpieces.
Oh,
you know
wow.
that. I mean, it was just for professional use. You know, like you see a recording artist with a monitor in their ear, a wireless monitor, and that would be made bespoke. But actually, you can get them made now, and they're not very cheap, but you know, then they're comfortable.
Do you know
and
if it's
not
sorry,
only comfortable,
Carol,
but they also
sorry.
Block out. Sorry, I was going to say that they also block out sound better as well. So that can be a benefit.
Oh, that's worth knowing about. But I think I'm wedded to having the covers over my ears now, because of course, having been in radio for so long, that seems perfectly normal to me. Maybe for other people, it's a bit weird to have your ears encased. Yeah. But I've spent so many hours like that. But you know, you've taken me right back to when I was 23, which is 39 years ago. And I arrived in London to present That's Life. And one of the first things I had to do was go into the centre of London to somewhere in Harley Street and have an elegant, slightly elderly gentleman pour warm wax into my ears to make the moulds for my earpieces for television.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah? And I think they lasted all the time through until when I went down to Plymouth, which was my posting before I was here. So they lasted until about 7 or 8 years ago, so 3 decades basically, and they were so grotty by then that the BBC kindly said, "We think it's time we paid for a second pair for you." So I've got a nice new pair now. But
once
anyway,
every few decades I'll do that. Well,
I mean, next pair I'll be about 93, I think. When
excellent. Put the order in now.
Yes, I should do. Anyway, so we're talking about a pair of wireless headphones today. You've chosen one particular brand. What are they and why?
Okay, so they're unusual in the sense that they're Nokia, and Nokia are obviously known for phones and not for headphones, but these are called the Nokia Essential Wireless Headphones. So they are over the ear, you know, they've got the traditional band over the top of your head and cups that sit on your ears. And they are wireless headphones, but the first thing to say to them is that you can use them both wirelessly and wired. It does come with a wire, and you can just plug it into one of the cups. So if the battery goes down, or you just, for whatever reason, you know, don't want to use it wireless, you don't have to. But when it is wireless, it uses a version of Bluetooth, which is wireless connectivity. Think of Bluetooth as what you would normally do with patching things together with wires, you know, that things are close together, but just doing it wirelessly. But this is Bluetooth 5, which means that it's got better quality and it's less of a drain on the battery as well. So good choice that they've used Bluetooth 5. The drivers in the headphones, that's to say the little speakers that are in the cups, are 40mm drivers, 4cm drivers, which makes them big. I mean, obviously much bigger than anything that could ever fit in the ear. And that gives you a particularly good sound, and I found them to be very good for speech as well as music. So if you're keen on listening to podcasts or radio, you know, they make a good choice for that. The battery life is quoted as 40 hours, which is, you know, pretty good. And if you connect them wirelessly to your smartphone, then you can either use Google Assistant or Siri is it's got a little microphone built into the headphones, so it can respond to voice commands. So if you've got an Apple phone, you can access your Siri. If you've got an Android phone, you can access Google Assistant. The headband itself is also foldable. The ear cups fold in. It comes with a little faux velvet bag to pop it in, which is quite nice. Volume control and bass boost mode. So I really like these headphones. So two small criticisms I have. One is that although you can use these headphones to make and receive phone calls, as I said, it's got a little microphone built into it, as is the case with almost all headphones with an integrated microphone where the microphone is near the ear, the quality is poor, you know, in terms of your voice. You know, there's a reason why, you know, when you have professional headsets for TV, you have like a little boom microphone that just comes down to the corner of the mouth, and in, you know, call center microphones as well, headphones as well. So it is poor. I mean, it's there at a push if you need it, and also the cable is micro USB instead of USB-C, which just, you know, it's just a bit old-fashioned, frankly. The USB-C is a new thing, and you know, you would have thought that they would have stuck that on there. But those are minor gripes. The major thing is that these headphones have got a list price of $79.99. But because they're new, I noticed on the Nokia website that they're selling them as a launch price of $59.99. And for £60, I think these are a bargain, because they're comfortable, they're good quality, they're branded headphones. And for those reasons, I've given it 4 stars out of 5.
I'm absolutely convinced of the wonder of this this new thing, that the wireless headphones. You can pop to the loo, and you don't miss a thing. You can hear what's going on still while you're washing your hands. It's
I just mentioned that Bluetooth 5 has got a bigger range. So on earlier versions of Bluetooth, when I get to the bathroom, my signal tends to cut out if my phone is in my study, for example. But with 5, you could pretty much roam the house and not have it cut out too much.
Yeah.
So that you know, that's pretty good. I just find them. I just think this. You know, I review a lot of expensive stuff that, you know, costs many hundreds of pounds, and I just like these because they're good quality, they're good sound, and for the money, you know, it just ticks all the boxes for me. I was happy with them. That's why I gave it 4.
And do you know, my maths was wonky. I've just been working out, if the BBC bought me my first pair of earpieces when I was 23, and my second pair about 8 years ago when I would have been 54, my next set will be 95. So I've got to wait a little bit longer than I thought.
It's like pensions, isn't it? It just keeps rolling away from you.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Bill Buckley here, and Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, also here, who's going to talk to us now about COVID passport apps. Now, some things have gone very well and some things have not gone well during the pandemic, Fevzi, and you would have to say that apps are in the not gone well bit overall. So quite a bold move to even perhaps think of having such a thing, would you say?
Yeah, so this is quite a contentious issue, and the government previously denied that it was going to introduce any sort of COVID passport. So a COVID passport would, in its most basic form, be something that would just confirm that you as an individual had been vaccinated. Could also, if they wanted to, tell people when you had your last negative test as well, or what the result of your last test was. And although it's called a passport and it could be used, for example, for controlling travel, and we already know that, you know, airlines have been requiring people to have a negative test within, I think, 48 hours of travel or some such. You know, it could be rolled out for many other reasons. I mean, it could be that if you want to go into a shop, or you want to go into a bank or any premises really, or even go to work, you might need to be able to prove that you've been vaccinated. Now, this is difficult for a number of reasons. There are technological issues and also societal and social issues. I mean, I personally was very much against when the government tried to bring in ID cards a few years back, if you remember.
I do.
And of course, and there are people, you know, civil libertarians that are worried that this is ID cards by the back door. And then you have to think about, well, what does it really tell you? Because the primary purpose of a vaccine at the moment is to prevent the person who's vaccinated from becoming seriously ill should the COVID virus enter their body. In other words, that it has an immune system that will jump on the virus and make sure that any illness that results is hopefully not severe. There is not, you know, conclusive evidence yet as to what extent this will prevent the person who's been vaccinated from being infectious still, even if they don't become seriously ill. You could even argue that because they're not seriously ill, perhaps they're not even showing symptoms, that they're more likely to pass on the virus. So there's all sorts of issues around this. And even when a vaccine works, it's not 100%. So I personally am in favour of something like this because it allows us to make intelligent decisions. But then we have to be very careful what restrictions we place on people. But at the same time, when we're starting from a point where everyone is locked into their homes, for goodness sake, then anything that helps us to come out of that in a less dangerous way, I hesitate to use the word safely, but in a less dangerous way, I think on balance is a good thing. But it may be that there's a need for new legislation, and if there were, I'd suggest that, you know, that legislation would need to be reviewed on a regular basis, even, you know, 6 monthly or something. Just as new legislation was brought in to allow enforcement of lockdown restrictions, and again, that legislation should be reviewed, because what it shouldn't be is that, you know, this is a way of just bringing in these sort of restrictions, and we're back to, you know, having to produce our papers, you know, on demand in the street and things like that. The rumours are that if the government does go ahead with this, that it may integrate the functionality into something called the NHS app. Now, the NHS app is not to be confused with the COVID-19 app. The NHS app is an app for the NHS and for us to use, and if we sign up to it, it allows us access to our medical records, what medicines we're on. Interestingly enough, there's already a tab on the NHS app to say what vaccinations we've had. But then the question would be, how do you communicate that? Because there's apps where it shows, third-party apps, where it shows your face and a QR code, which is like a type of barcode, and then you can hold it up, like, you know, like when you check in at airports, you remember that thing when we used to check in at airports, and you could hold up your smartphone and it would scan. But the difficulty is, how do you stop someone from just producing a screen grab that's got a barcode on it and your face pasted onto it? You know, the implications of doing this securely, even if you think it's a good idea, are tricky. But I think we need some sort of electronic record, because, you know, we're going to have our first vaccine, we're going to have the second vaccine, we're going to end up with booster vaccines, and if we get it right, the companies that produce vaccines are going to become much more agile at producing, testing and rolling out new vaccines, so that we have to be faster than the virus mutates, and at the moment we're not. By the time they bring out the boosters in the autumn, it will be several generations of mutation too late. You know, better than nothing, but too slow. So something that's a sort of a current record of our vaccination status. Yes, we had AstraZeneca twice, and then we had a Moderna or a Pfizer, or, you know, what dates we had it on and all that. Is good information, but it's a real minefield in terms of navigating the privacy issues around that. How do you, because you know, my vaccination status can affect other people. If I'm more dangerous because I haven't had a vaccine, if I am, then, you know, my rights to privacy ends where someone else's rights to survive begin.
Yeah, I totally see that. Yes, and that is true of so many things in the modern world, isn't it? As you and I have said before, you know, our moral decisions are forever playing catch up with these incredible developments. All these questions that just a few years ago, let alone generations ago, nobody had to wrestle with, now need to be wrestled with, you know, some urgency. So yeah, we can add that to our list, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see what we'll see. Downing Street saying the matter is under review and it doesn't want to preempt anything by speculating. Yeah. So that doesn't tell us anything at all, does it, really? But
I think it's pretty clear they're going to try and do this, and I expect them to mess it up. By the way, the NHS app is an English. Well, I expect them to mess it up the first 3 times, and then eventually, when they give a contract to someone they're not related to, then we might get a decent app out of them. So that's just me. That's a joke.
Yeah, that's not necessarily the the view of the BBC, of course.
No, yeah. No. Although I think the minister was found to have acted unlawfully in the provision of contracts.
Well, there was that. Certainly. Yes, there was that.
Yes, and hasn't lost his job, but never mind. So all of this is... I mean, it's quite interesting, you know, the way that technology gives us moral conundrums, and our ability to consider moral conundrums is slow, and yet the rate at which our technology increases. Yeah. Let me take, for example, reproductive technology. You know, test tube, people are still arguing about test tube babies, and the technology is decades old. We can already produce babies with you know, only a single gender parents, for example. We can do cloning, we can do all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And we haven't even framed the moral questions, much less answered them yet, and yet the technology is burgeoning.
We'd better leave it there for today, because we could do another whole half an hour if we're not very careful. I wish we could, but we mustn't. Thank you, Fevzi. If you want to find him, you can find him on Twitter. He's at Gadget Detective.